Right. Everybody's connecting.
Hey guys.
Fantastic. Bree. Hi, Bree.
Hello.
All right. Nina, hello.
Hello.
And let's see, we have Paige and Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie. And Paige is connecting to Otto. So we're going to give it a few minutes because I don't know about all of you, but Zoom made me update my version just as I signed in. And then it said, sorry, it failed. Try again. And I'm going. So did any of you have to do that?
No.
No, good. It was just me that was all panicky then. That's
Not
fine.
this time, but it does that to me. I teach several classes a week on Zoom, and it never lets you know. It never gives you a heads up. It's when you're logging in that it's like, hey, right now, shut down. So I understand the feeling and the panic.
It's a good reminder to prepare, leave plenty of time beforehand. Mira, hi.
Hi.
How are you? Oh, it
Good.
keeps moving around as people keep joining. And Aiken, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Hello, Aiken. And Cornelia, welcome. And MZ Rhea, I'm not quite sure who that is, but that's okay. Welcome. Glad to have you here. Let's see. And so I'm going to give it just a few minutes. So just really quickly, how about a question like, how long ago did you graduate from the Certified Coach Program with CTA? Hold up your fingers.
Oh.
Mine is, oh no, almost that. Three, Mira,
Yeah.
great. Stephanie, six. Brie, one. Holly,
Did
seven. Welcome. How about you,
you
Nina?
say months or years?
However you want to answer it.
My one was in years.
Okay.
My
I just
mine's in
finished
months last
Yours is
year.
months. Well, congratulations, Nina. That's great. So glad to have you here. And hi, Cornelia. I can see you now.
Hi, 7 years.
7 years. Awesome. Well, I do this exercise in week 12, which is, so Brie, you know that, with newer coaches just starting a program. So I am so excited to do this with seasoned coaches that have been doing this for a while. This is really exciting. Let's see. Holly, do we have, I'm sorry, Cornelia, one?
I just want to clarify something.
Yes.
I had I did my training. I had about 6 to 8 months of really good client, and then I got roped in to do a completely different job. Teach music at a German school in Chicago, and I did
Wow.
that for 5 years, and then but I haven't done I've done minimal coaching since, so I am in definitely need of all the help I can get right now. So I'm starting up again.
Oh, well, welcome back. That's
Thank
awesome.
you.
And
Thank you.
hopefully this will be a good foundational refresher.
Yeah, Lori, it looks like we've got everyone in. If they're stragglers, I'll admit them after the
Okay.
start, but go ahead and just a quick introduction for those that will be watching the video and don't know you. We'll kick
All
it off.
right.
Welcome.
Hi, everyone. This is also fun doing it on Zoom because you know we don't do the CCPs that way. I'm Lori Cameron. I've been a coach since late last millennium. I started in 1998, and I've been a trainer with Coach Training Alliance since 2002. So
Wow.
later this year, I hit 21 years. And next week, I start CCP number 124. So, and I still love it. It's one of the best jobs in the world is bringing new coaches out into the world and doing what you do and making the world a better place by using these skills. I think everybody needs these skills. So my current focus too, my own business is teaching coaching skills to leaders and managers and creating online courses for that and stuff. So, But this is what I really, really love. And I'm in Washington, so on the west side of Puget Sound, across from Seattle. And so that's that. I want to just jump in and welcome Marissa. Hello.
Hi.
So what we're doing today is we're focusing on creating powerful coaching questions. So very, very fundamental. Like I said, this is what happens, or what we talk about in week 12, listening and asking questions. But this is an exercise I've been doing with my CCP classes for a really long time. And when Holly asked me if I wanted to do some, I said, yes, I want to do this because it's so much fun. So quick refresher, I'm just gonna go through the list and then we'll play the game, tag team coaching. So, oh, actually, though, I have a question first. So, and Bree, the answer to this question. So fill in the blank. If you want better answers, you have to
Ask better
Ask
questions.
better questions.
Ask better questions. Close. That's the answer I get 100% of the time when I do this in the class, and when I do this in my own coaching and workshops with groups of leaders. If you want better answers, you have to craft better questions. We all know how to ask questions, right? We've been asking questions since we could first talk, and first, ask to be picked up, ask for another cookie. So masterful coaching is not about asking any old question that pops into your head. Masterful coaching is about crafting the most powerful question, not right, wrong, not any of that, but crafting the most powerful question you can in that moment, in that place of the coaching session, to help your client move forward. And so in the class, hopefully you all remember characteristics of powerful coaching questions. I'm just going to kind of go through my list here. They're open-ended rather than closed-ended, that you can answer with only yes or no. And if somebody says yes or no, there's kind of nowhere to go. But mostly open-ended, and mostly a what question or a how question. Powerful coaching questions are simple, short, very, very short. The fewer words you use in your question, the more impact each one of those has to have. They're direct. They relate directly to what the client just said, and they use the client's language, the language of the agenda, the whatever the client just said, what was going on for them. And I see a lot of you taking notes too. And I know this is being recorded, right, Holly? So this will be available. So if there's something you miss, the recording will be edited and up in about a week or so. So you'll have, just remember that too. So if you miss something, it's not gone forever. Powerful coaching questions are evocative. I think one of the best things a client could ever say to me is, that's a great question. I have to think about that for a minute. Because if they can answer right away, we're not challenging them to go to their higher level critical thinking or dive deeper into their own truth or their own wisdom. So they evoke thought, they evoke, or they challenge a client to go deeper. They're motivated by curiosity and being co-creative. So they're also focused on the client rather than focused on you. Like, I think this, or I think that, or whatever it might be, or we should do this. It's always you. They honor the client right where they are, and they challenge a client, like I said, to think deeper, think higher, think broader, whatever it might be. And just a really quick note about why. What do you think? Well, let me just ask you, what do you think about why questions? Stephanie, you're going like this. Why not why questions?
Because it puts people on the defense.
Yeah.
They close down, they shut down when you
Yeah.
ask why.
And they have an underlying judgment, right? Why did you do it this way? Or why do you think that? Even if that's not your intention, even if that's not what they are getting cognitively, there's still that underlying judgment, puts them on the defensive, and that is so not co-creative. right? So what we're going to do, because it's 10 after the hour, so I want to have plenty of time to play. We might even have a couple of these, is tag team coaching. And we've got enough of you to do this. So what we're going to have is one client and the rest of you will be coaches. So first of all, I would like to ask, who would like to be the client in this exercise? Who am I making eye contact with? Ooh, Nina, are you leaning forward to come off mute and say yes?
Do I have to think up my own agenda?
Pretty much, yeah. But, you know, something you're working on, where's a gap between where you are and where you want to be in your personal life, your professional life, something like that in your business. So if you're okay with that, then I'll give some more instructions while you're thinking about that.
I'll go okay? for it.
Oh, thank you so much. I love that. And whoever steps up, you all know this, whoever steps up usually gets the most out of it. So here's the way this is going to work. I'm going to kind of fast track and get to a clear agenda with Nina. And as soon as we do that, then I'm going to open it up. And one of you will step up with the next question to ask Nina. And before Nina answers it, though, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the question. We're going to kind of maybe pick it apart. Is it the right time for the question? Is it crafted well? Is it using the client's language? We're just kind of look at it, play with it, massage it. And when we come up with what we think is the most powerful question we can think of in the moment, then Nina will answer it. And then based on her, whatever she answers, we're going to really be listening to her, right? Listening deeply, taking whatever notes you want as well. And then the next coach will tag in, right, with the next question. And you'll ask your question. And so this is participating. I'm hoping everybody is willing to participate in this and play. And we'll look at the question, we'll play with it, massage it, tweak it, whatever. And when we kind of get to that point, then Nina will answer that one. And then the next coach will tag in with the next question. So first of all, we're making this up as we go along. There's just absolutely no way to know how this is going to go or where it's going to go. And Nina, it's going to be pretty disjointed. However, I promise you will get coaching in this. I have one rule that, whoops, one rule. I'm holding it up in front of my face. One rule is you can only ask one question. So this is not about reflecting, repeating, kind of doing all the things that we normally do when we're in a session with a client, is you get one question. Okay. I see heads nodding. We're going to do that. All right. And we might even be able to, since it's only about quarter after, we might even be able to get a couple in today, which would be really nice. Normally in class, it's only half an hour and I kind of get one, but, we're going to see, because like I said, we're making this up as we go along, including me. And I take pretty verbatim notes in this. So when I'm looking down at my notepad, I'm not distracted, even though I'm not looking at my camera. This is why I love teaching the class on the phone, because I'm always, my head's buried in my notes. So when I'm looking down, taking notes, I'm still listening and paying attention. I just wanted you to know that, that I am, even though I'm not looking at the camera. So everybody ready? Thumbs up. Okay. All right. So that was a lot. I'm going to kind of settle myself here. So Nina, what is it that you would like to take away from a coaching session?
Okay, thank you. So I'm relatively new in my certification. I really want to move into group coaching or coaching with different nonprofit executives. And I don't feel confident enough in the listening aspect and creating the questions to do it in a group.
Okay, so if I can clarify that, what you'd like to take away is a strategy or a plan to be more confident leading coaching groups?
Yes.
Okay, so here's where we are. And if you're taking notes, go ahead and note this down. A plan to be more confident leading coaching groups. And what's important in coaching is, you know, regardless of how you take notes, at least note the agenda. And I have my pink pen that I write A and circle it. So I always know the agenda to be able to come back to and use the language of that. Leading coaching groups. Plan to be more confident leading coaching groups. All right. We're opening it up. Who wants to tag in with the next question for Nina? Stephanie, thank you. Go for
it. Sure. So, Nina, what does confidence, how do you define confidence?
Okay. Before you answer that, that's an awesome question, Stephanie. I knew this was going to be different with seasoned coaches. Yes, that's great. So you asked two. There was a what question and a how question.
Yeah.
That's all right. That's all right.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. There again, there's no right or wrong here. It's along the continuum from less powerful question to more powerful question. So that's all right. But either the what or the how. So pick one of those, Stephanie. Which one feels short, direct, to the point for you?
What does confidence look like to you?
Okay. So that's, I'm going to write that down. Hang on. So, well, let me open it up. What makes that a good question?
Open-ended.
Yep, open-ended.
It's asking her for involvement to define it so that we can get clarification.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Cornelia and Mira. So it's definitely open-ended. What? And what does confidence? So it's using the word confident because that's one of the words in her agenda. And look like. So what I've discovered over the years is that once you have a clear agenda, and this is actually almost always fits somehow, is to ask the client a vision, ideal situation, magic wand kind of question after that, so that when Nina identifies what does confidence look like to her, then that gives us something very tangible to coach her towards, rather than what I hear with newer coaches. So what's getting in your way of feeling confident? What goes wrong? We don't want to go there. That'll come up more naturally. But what we really want to focus on is asking a question that gives us something tangible and very specific to coach our client towards. So that's what makes that a great question. Thank you, Stephanie. And it's also, you added to, what does confidence look like to you? Which is very, very personal. And it invites Nina, rather than what does confidence look like? Well, you know, it's when you do this and when you do that. This is really specific to Nina. So all in all, nice question. Nina, now it's your turn. What does confidence look like to you?
I almost want to say, what does confidence feel like to me?
Okay. We're just going to say, go for it.
Okay. So confidence, the feeling of confidence to me is having a good, strong base of my knowledge of of the path that may be followed, and you know, standing sturdy in my ability to listen deeply, not direct, and walk alongside them in flushing out whatever it is that they can get out of it.
Okay.
Look, I bet you wrote that word flushing down, didn't you?
No, actually, I didn't get to there. No, but thank you for that. So that one question, Nina knows exactly what that feels like. So who's going to tag in with the next question? Cornelia, thank you. Go ahead.
Nina, what do you think your first step would be to gaining confidence in anything?
Okay. First step is more of a framing question, right? Towards the end of the simple coaching model, right? Clarify the agenda, seize the coachable moment, invite the shift, and framing. And even though she has a really clear picture of what confidence feels like to her, hang on, I'm making this up too, just a second. The question about first step to gaining confidence in anything is like kind of telescoping out. So the question, what does confidence look like to you, help Nina telescope in on what that looks like. So the first, what do you think the first step is actually a pretty good start. However, the broadness of confidence is going to take her back out to that bigger picture of it as opposed to helping her start narrowing in on what she just said. So Cornelia, did you write down three, four things that she said? What was the first thing she said when she answered the question, what confidence feels like to her?
She said it was feeling. Oh boy.
That's okay. That's all right. Who captured that? Stephanie.
Base of knowledge,
strong base of, not just a base of knowledge, a strong base of knowledge. So what I'd like to suggest, Cornelia, is that
write down.
it's a good question. And yet, based on what Nina just said, does it make more sense to hone in there as opposed to confidence in general? So if you honed in on that first one, Bree, you keep nodding your head.
Yeah.
I'm gonna let you go ahead because
I was thinking that it would be great to ask a question like, what does a strong base of knowledge look like to you?
Okay. Yeah. And
or feel, and, like, because she actually used the word feel. That might be
good catch.
Even better.
Good catch. So there's a couple ways to go here. So using Cornelia's question. For what do you think the first step is, rather than to gaining knowledge, is what do you think the first step, or even what do you think it'll take to gain a strong base of knowledge? So that's one direction here, or Bree's direction is, what does a strong base of knowledge feel like? So Nina, client, I'm going to ask you, which one of those questions feels like it's more powerful to you in this moment?
What does a strong base of knowledge feel like or look like?
Look like. Okay. All right. Hang on. It's hard to recall this and taking notes. Just a second. So strong base of knowledge. Okay. Awesome. So Nina, go ahead and answer that.
Okay. I think it would look like or feel like comfort with, like we're doing right now, with the way questions are posed in order to elicit deep critical thinking. Just exactly like, actually like exactly like what we're doing. And this is a great exercise because I recognize I would have done what Cornelia did, is jump ahead and not burrow through the steps, I guess.
Yeah, so.
And I just to jump in, I was gonna, sure. I was going to go down, tell me a little bit more. Like for me, I was gonna go a little bit exploring down the knowledge or down the other things, because she said a lot of things, those four, I didn't even write them down. So I'm like, could you describe a little bit more detail about what you mean about the knowledge or the blah, 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 blah. I was going. Yeah. So, because I wasn't sure which path she wanted to go down, you know, which was really back to the stumbling block that we say, you know, we always go to like, what's the real barrier? So I was going to do a little more exploring in my, if I was going to question you right after that first. So just to share that that's where my thinking was.
Thank you for that, Mira. And see, that's a great example that with, you know, all these coaches and all these little Brady Bunch squares, you all have, you're hearing things slightly different, and that's okay, because we're different people. We have our own different filters, and that's completely okay. So thank you for adding that, Mira. And okay, comfort with the way questions are posed to elicit deep critical thinking. Who wants to tag in with the next question? Holly.
How do you develop your comfort levels?
Okay. Yeah, so it's using, hang on, it's using Nina's language of comfort, right, with the way questions are asked, and it's really honing in on her sense of comfort, which we can kind of interpret is part of that whole confidence thing. Yeah, so gaining comfort here. So another option for this, rather than kind of the generic overall comfort level, which is one option, another option might be, how do you see getting comfortable with asking questions? Or what do you think it'll take to get comfortable asking questions? And there again, this is a little bit more direct, and you know, training the coach sessions in class, the 15-minute sessions, it's like kind of being a little bit more direct. And that's a little bit more my style as well. So just wanted to toss those two out there. But let's go with that for Holly. So Nina, how do you develop comfort levels?
I think the easy answer would be trying to memorize all these great, great questions. But I do realize that you just can't project them up onto a screen and pull them out willy-nilly. I mean, you have to be comfortable in the questions that you want to ask. Or maybe you don't even have to be comfortable in the questions. Maybe you just have to be comfortable with the what and the how.
Okay. So I want to make a quick point here. So in talking about the simple coaching model too, inviting the shift, one of the key indicators that a shift is starting to form, starting to happen, is maybe I just need to. And could you hear the resolve in her voice? This is all it's going to take. So that's an indication that there's a shift starting to form in there. And so this is not the time to telescope back out. This is the time to help Nina hone in on what that shift might be. So when she said, maybe just comfortable with the what and the how, who's got the next question that they want to tag in with?
I got one.
Thank you. Go ahead, Marissa.
How comfortable are you listening to your intuition?
Okay. I'm hearing some directiveness in that question. So, Marissa, how comfortable are you? I want to write it down. You said listening to your own intuition?
Correct.
Okay. So I'm hearing your head trying to move her in a particular direction. I'm hearing that your brain is figuring something out for Nina. Like, if she taps into her own intuition, she's going to feel okay. She's going to feel more comfortable about this. And the reason that comes up for me, Marissa, is that the word intuition has not shown up yet. And there again, we want to make sure that we are honoring our own intuitive hits and kind of checking in with that as well. So I want to honor that this is likely an intuitive hit for you as well, Marissa. And yet I want to suggest too that there's just kind of a little bit of a hint of directiveness in here. Like you're thinking that if she trusts her own intuition, she's going to be fine. Is that kind of what's going on in there?
Yeah, a little bit. It was just by like some of the things she was saying. Yeah.
Okay. But does it make sense that it's kind of taking Nina here and going, you need to kind of look at this instead. So yeah. There again, there's so many subtleties and nuances in masterful coaching. And there's different styles. I have my style. You all have your own style as well. And yet my intuition is saying that maybe we need to tweak this a little bit.
Okay.
And ask a question about what she just said, because when we're really listening to a client, I don't think I already said this in this. I said it last night in week 12 in a class. When we're really truly listening to our clients, they will tell us what to ask them next. Right? So if Nina just said, maybe I just need to get comfortable with the what and the how is that telling you what to ask her next?
I guess I just came in saying, go ahead, Paige. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Paige.
Well, it's great to be here. What came to me is, what would it look like to just trust your, what did she say? To just repeat what she just said, what would it look like?
Maybe it's just about being comfortable with the what and the how.
Yeah, what would that look like if you were
with the what and the how? Okay.
Mm-hmm. What would that look like?
Yeah. So there's a variety of different ways to ask that question right now too. The what would it look like is a visioning kind of a question. Another way to look at it as a slightly more tangible strategic question might be, what'll it take to be comfortable with the what and the how? So we want to make sure that we don't get lost in repetitive what does it look like or feel like questions, especially towards the end. Now that we're kind of in the shift, moving into framing a little bit, we're kind of on the cusp of that in the simple coaching model, then to start looking at maybe a little bit more strategic questions. Holly. Go ahead. Yeah, you're there.
I'm like Bree go first because she has her hands up.
Bree, go ahead.
Same.
You can go first.
Well, as Nina comes close to this shift, and she says, I just need to get comfortable with the what and the how, as a coach, I'm curious to know, like, I don't know exactly what she means by the what and the how, and I'm curious how well formed of that an idea is in her mind also. Right. So
that's the look like.
But not so much like what does what and how look like. It's more like, well, what exactly are you talking about there? That is not the question I would ask, but I'm saying, like,
what in the world are you talking about?
What are you talking about when you say I need to get comfortable with the what and the how? Is it like what question I'm going to ask and how I'm going to do it, or is it the what and how of what the client is talking about? So there's a lot of things that, as a coach, I'm not clear about where Nina is, that I don't know how clear Nina is in her own head.
I've got another one to toss out there, one of my favorite ones too, and it combines visioning with strategy and kind of future evaluation of success. And that's how will you know? So that's another option here too. So it might sound like, how will you know when you're comfortable with the what and the how? So we've got some options here. So Nina, as the client, I'm going to let you choose. Of these questions, we've tossed out, I don't know, half a dozen. There's quite a few here. Which question feels like it will help you move forward?
Well, I really connected with the vision to the strategy. I really like this last one. How will you know when you are comfortable?
Okay.
Because that takes me like deeper into my thought process of, well, how will I know? Because this is, you know, that's the whole point of asking this question, was to get to the point, well, how will I know?
Right.
And so I guess then.
I apologize. Go ahead and answer that one.
Well, no. I'm not sure that I'm quite ready to answer that.
Okay. So maybe a what does it look like question makes sense first?
Okay. All right, let's try that. What would it look like? What would it look like?
To be comfortable with the what and the how, using your language.
Okay, then let me say that it would look like that I've kind of gotten into a groove with the group or with the person, that the questions that come from their reactions is just organic, and not, I struggle with the trying to think ahead of the other questions, which is probably what every new coach struggles with.
Okay. A groove with a group or a person, that the questions come in an organic way. Okay. So as I'm looking at the time, actually, let's just keep playing with this one. So who's going to tag in with the next question? Are you Mira? Are you looking for mute?
No, I didn't write down exactly what she said to be able to formulate the question properly. So,
okay. Well, it was, what does being comfortable with the what and the how look like? Be in the groove with a group or person so that questions come organically.
So I guess I would, this is my instinct and probably not right, but my instinct right now is to go into, well, Nina, have you had success with that before? You know, something about success with questions and having them do organically. And if so, what did that feel like? And I know those two questions, but that was where I'm naturally heading, because yeah. I'm trying to get her to closure or to really zone in. So, so that's where I was.
Yeah.
So, I wasn't quite there yet, right?
Have you had success before?
I don't want to force her, but we have to get one more before we go, kind of a thing.
So past success questions can have value. What I want to suggest, though, at this point in the session, may not be, as we're kind of running around the shift here, you know, maybe not, in here. Holly, I liked your comment too in the chat. I was paying attention to the chat here, not getting ahead of the question.
I like that.
And Bree has something she's been interested in sharing.
Okay, go Bree.
I was leaning toward a question like, how will you know when you're successfully in the groove?
Yeah. So it's a different way of asking, you know, what does it look like? What does it feel like? All of that. And Holly, you picked up on the struggling. I struggle with thinking ahead. So what question would you ask about that struggle with thinking ahead?
On me, I was saying I would invite the client to, like, would it be helpful for us to explore some strategies for how to not get ahead?
Okay.
Can you say that again? Would it be helpful?
Would it be helpful, Nina, to explore some strategies on how to not get ahead?
Yes.
Okay.
That's a very dangerous thing, right? Because it takes the agenda just in a slightly different direction.
Not really, because the overall agenda is plan to be more confident leading coaching groups. So, you know, giving a little bit more time to the struggle to resolve can have value in that. So it's not really a detour. It's still within the agenda. And
because the strategies, her developing strategies, then naturally might get her more confidence.
Yes. Uh-huh. And and it's also a closed-ended question. However, it's not a, well, can you do this or is it this kind of closed-ended question. It is there's a word in my head that's not showing up. It's a process. It's a coaching process mm-hmm. question. So as the coach, to be able to say, client, you know, I heard this struggle, would it help? So it's almost like not really clarifying the agenda, but honing in on the agenda a little bit more closely is, would it help to brainstorm ways to get past that struggle that you just identified? So it's a similar question to clarifying the agenda and letting Nina choose how she wants to move forward with the session. So it's not the regular closed-ended question that we say don't ask. It's mm-hmm. even though it is closed-ended. So, and Nina, you said yes. So what comes after her saying yes to that closed-ended question? About struggling with thinking ahead.
Have any strategies in the past worked for her to keep her in the present, you know, not thinking ahead?
This is a time where a past success question might be helpful. Yeah, so you are on the right track in here somewhere, Mira, as well. So Marissa asked, past success, has there been a time? So Nina, you want to answer that one?
Yes, and this probably kind of takes a little bit of context because I don't have many coaching clients, and it's all been a process of me learning. But yes, so I have had situations where instead of trying to think ahead to the next question, I really try to make myself be in the moment with them, and an organic question will come up. And how I know that it's been successful is exactly like you pointed out, where they pause and they say, wow, I hadn't really thought about that.
Okay. So She's, what did we just hear? We heard her solution to her struggle, right? And what somebody also said already is, that's also answering the question, or let me ask you, Nina, as the client, this is a process question right now. Mm-hmm. Does this also help you identify how to stay in the groove with a group or person? To be in the moment and trust that the organic question will come up?
Mm-hmm. That's such a profound way of putting that, because you really do have to be in the groove.
Maybe that is the next question. I was asking a process question, kind of what did we just hear, right?
Uh-huh,
and making that connection. So maybe that is the actual coaching question, is how does being in the moment help you stay in the groove with a group or person? So it was kind of a process question and a question as well. So I apologize for interrupting, Nina.
No,
where were you going with that one?
That's exactly right. The question is, how will I know?
Or how does, sorry, I have to go back to my notes. How will being in the moment and trusting that the organic question will come help you? We could even help you, and we can even go back to the agenda, help you be more confident in leading coaching groups, or just to what she just said, how will that help you stay in the groove with a group or a person? So I might suggest that at this point, since we're not really wrapping up quite yet, but we really need to, is tying it back to what she just said about her before her struggle. So how will being in the moment and trusting that the organic question will come up help you stay in the groove with a group or person?
How will that help me? How will it help me?
How will staying in the moment help you stay in the groove?
Okay. So how it will help me is really how it will help me is helping the client. If I'm in the groove and it's all coming organically, I'm giving them the gift of doing all the work. But my question is the gift.
Oh, yes. Client works, coach gets paid. It's a great system. All right. So in the interest of time, we did not get to, we got one really, really juicy one in here. I'd like to just kind of wrap it up with the framing question, Nina. So what's one thing you can do, one action you can take to help you stay in the moment?
To let go of the need to always have other questions out there for me to pick from.
Okay. Always have questions. So there's some other questions in here that I want to toss out before we debrief, and you can either answer or just take it with you, Nina. So it would be a question like, when you're in the middle of a session, how will you remember to let go of future questions? Or when you're in the middle of the next session and you notice you're thinking ahead, what do you want to do differently?
Mm-hmm.
So strategy questions like that, because this is more, when we're coaching a client to change a habit, it's not necessarily one specific action, but it's helping them visualize the next time they run into this challenge, this old habit, what are they going to do in the moment to instill the new habit?
Mm-hmm.
So those kinds of questions, we just don't have time to dig deeply into that. But in this case, it would be that. And then, you know, one of my favorite end of session questions is, it's a quantifying. So actually, I'd like to ask it. So Nina, at the beginning of this very disjointed coaching session for you. On a scale from 0 to 10, what was your level of confidence to lead coaching groups?
At the beginning?
Uh-huh.
Oh, one.
Okay. Where does your level of confidence feel now?
7.
Woo-hoo! Celebrate progress. That's not bad for about 30 minutes here, actually 40 minutes. So that's another question I love asking a client, is to quantify a feeling. Mm-hmm. Like on a scale from 0 to 10, where did you start and where are you now? Because rather than saying, so what value did you get from this session, mm-hmm. which is not a bad question, mm-hmm. it's just not as robust or vibrant as other possibilities. But having Nina identify that she started out at 1:15 at a 1, and she's now at a 7 at 10 minutes till, that's pretty darn good, mm-hmm. right? So quantifying feelings has a lot of value in there. So I need to breathe.
Can I just interrupt here and say thank
yes, all please. Of you,
all of you, for being, you know, open and willing to jump in with, you know, just with this the group think. I appreciate it. I got so much out of it.
And thank you again for stepping up as well. And thank you all for doing this. So my debrief question for this, and we've got about 8 minutes left, is when you tagged in to ask a question, what was going on when you knew that you could only ask one, that you were limited to one? What was going on inside? Cornelia.
Really much, much more intense listening.
Why? See, there's that why question, sorry.
Because there usually is a phrase or one or two words, you know, catchphrases that sometimes are kind of hidden, mm-hmm. and you have to catch that in order to be able to dig a little deeper for her to dig a little, ask that question so she can dig deeper.
Yeah. And that's, thank you, Cornelia. And yeah, that's what I said. When we're really listening, really present and listening to our clients, they will tell us what to ask them next. Mm-hmm. That's what we're listening for. Yeah, that's a great catch. Thank you, Cornelia. Who else? When you knew you could only ask one question, what was going on when you tagged in? Anyone feel any anxiety around it?
I wouldn't call it anxiety. There was pressure. Which maybe other people would refer to as anxiety. It was more like, make it a good one, because you only get one. And I thought maybe that would be a valuable filter to put on my brain when I'm going into a coaching session with a client, even though I know it's not real, but I would only get one. But if I pretend like I'm in this space where I only get one, so I better make it good, I feel like I'm going to do a better job of getting my clients into the language from their agenda that they will connect with the most deeply, because I'll fake that pressure onto myself.
No, it's, don't fake the pressure. Use the pressure. It is real. It is real. So this actually is the moral of, and Aiken, thank you. The challenge often comes from being distracted and not being present with the client. Thank you, Aiken. And that's kind of what you said, Cornelia, as well. And Bree, don't fake that pressure. Use it. Because in order to listen, you have to pause. You have to stop talking. You have to kind of stop all the stuff that's going on in here. Because when a client is talking, we've got all these questions popping up, right? And masterful coaching is not about asking any question that pops into your head. It's about intentionally pausing and crafting the most powerful one question you can think of in that moment. If it doesn't land quite right, that's okay. Just stop at one and let the client answer. So the question to leave you with, and you kind of, you spoiled it, Bree, because you heard this all before, is what would your very next coaching session look like, sound like, and feel like if you asked one question at a time for the whole entire session. And to actually use that pressure to pause, to listen so that you're paying attention to what the client is actually saying rather than getting lost in all the questions in your own head. Mm-hmm. And then not what I do, what I have a tendency to do and newer coaches do in the class is start figuring out a question out loud, right? And asking one, oh, that's not right. Oh, ask it again. This is why I'm asking it. And all this happens out loud. And the power, the value of coaching just, you know, plummets at that point. So when you do all that in your head, you do all the processing and you say, hang on a second, client, I'm putting a question together in my head. Then you give yourself that space to go through in your head and then come to the best, most powerful question you can think of in that moment. Is it the best one you can think of a couple hours after the session? No, I do that all the time. But in that moment, what's the best you can come up with? Not right or wrong, not the right one, but the most powerful one I can think of in this moment. Short, direct, one at a time. So where are we? 4 minutes. Whew. What are you taking away? How was this? Did you have fun? See, how's that for stacking questions?
I think this group dynamic process of those of us who, like, I've been doing a lot of mentoring and pseudo coaching, you know, nothing in a paid client respect, but I've really been practicing through all these other experiences. This process, though, really gets us back to using those skills that we learned and just reinforcing it, because they're back here. We don't need, I guess I'm saying, I don't even know if I'm using them, but by doing this session, I can say, oh, I do that, or I don't do that, or I should do more of that. And certainly should do more listening, because I know I jump. Yes. I know I jump.
We should always do more listening in every areas of our lives, including me. Yes.
Bree, I'm with you. 100%. We can do it ourselves, right? I mean, 100%.
There's nothing stopping any of you from finding your own group of people to do this as often as you like. Who else? Other thoughts on the experience? Actually, I want to go to you, Paige, or not Paige, sorry. Thank you for your comment, Paige. Is to you, Nina. As the client, what did you learn about crafting powerful questions from being the client?
Oh, wow. I mean, everything. Everybody's, you know, we all kind of struggle through those questions. I just appreciated the support of everyone in trying to help get me into a more critical thinking process. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where I'm not, as you said, not chasing the next question. You know, I'm really deeply, deeply listening.
Good. All right. So we're at 1 minute till or less than. So Holly, are we staying on after, or are we both going too?
Oh, I'm going, but here's my biggest takeaway.
Okay.
Of all the co-creative forms we've done, this one has had the most impact for everyone, and we might just go lean in harder to this format for a while because it was so powerful. And Cornelia, I'm very curious, like you said, you haven't touched coaching for a while. Like, yeah. So as far as like bang for the buck, good job, Lori. We all got a lot out of this. Thank you.
Well, I couldn't do without you too. So, you know, when you show up, you get more out of it. So Nina, thanks for stepping up to be client. Bree, nice to see you. It's been a while since you're in my class. Marissa, Cornelia, Mira, Stephanie, Paige, Aiken. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Just grateful that all of you decided to come play, because if coaching is not play, let's not do it. If it's not fun, I don't want to do it. So thank you all.
And thank you, everyone.
Thanks so much, Holly.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.